It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, March 23rd. I'm Adrian Hill in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson. Today, we're going to take a look at the classroom and the way tech is changing how kids learn and what parents worry about. Venture capital firms poured more than $1 billion into ed tech companies last year. Teachers are adding learning apps, games, and software to their classes. And with that flood of tech, parents, privacy experts, and educators are becoming more and more concerned about what happens to the data that's being gathered on kids. Today, we're expecting new bipartisan legislation will be introduced in Congress that would limit how companies can use that data. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Data can be a powerful tool, helping teachers customize lessons and track students' progress over time. But Kalia Barnes with the Electronic Privacy Information Center says there aren't enough restrictions on how companies can use student data.
We're in, unfortunately, the Wild West when it comes to student privacy, and so we're hopeful that the upcoming legislation will correct the current wrongs.
The bill is expected to prohibit companies from selling students' personal information or using it for non-educational purposes, like marketing. Barnes says the bill won't prevent states from passing tougher laws, something the industry hopes to avoid. Mark Schneiderman is head of education policy at the Software and Information Industry Association.
There is a concern with the patchwork approach, and to the degree that we can harmonize and simplify, I think we'll better serve students and schools.
Tech giants like Google and Apple have signed a voluntary student privacy pledge. Privacy advocates are pushing for a federal law with more teeth. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
We've got a whole lot more on student data privacy on our website, marketplace.org. Today is Science Fair Day at the White House. Students from around the country will be showing off their discoveries, like an app to help teens manage stress and depression, a hiccup-suppressing lollipop, and 3D-printed wheelchair accessories. All these pretty amazing inventions got us wondering about how technologies change science fair in schools. So we called up Norm Brennan. He's a middle school science teacher at the Merman School in Los Angeles and was named California State Science Fair Teacher of the Year last year. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How long have you been a science teacher?
Oh, this is my 20th year in the field of science, my 15th here at the Merman School.
And how have middle school science fair projects changed in that time?
A lot of the change has come through the use of technology and really through the apps that have been developed for tablets and cell phones. I had one group of boys that used an iPhone app for G-forces, and what they did was they were testing the impact of helmets and concussions, and they were putting gel inserts to see how that would lessen the impact using an app on an iPhone.
So we're a long way from the days of my middle school volcano science project.
Very,
huh?
Very long way, yes.
What are some of the other projects your kids do?
We had one project this year where using a 3D printer, one of my students was able to print a prosthetic hand and then robotically control it by putting hookups onto a glove. Also, another app for a tablet is a colony counter app for doing microbiology when we are looking at microbes in a petri dish. Instead of having to count them by hand, we can now take an image through an iPad and it counts the colonies for them.
And how much of this is actually, how often are these kids getting help from home? I know with my volcano, my mom was right there helping me paper mache it up. So,
well, the beautiful thing about my school is that the science fair is a very important part of my curriculum. And while we do the topic development and the research as homework, about 99% of the testing is done inside of the classroom.
Now that we're in this new space where kids are doing more elaborate science projects, I assume these projects also cost more money to run. Where's the money come from?
Yeah, the money issue is a big thing at a private school. Sometimes we have a little more parent involvement to be able to fund a lot of these things. We're also looking at writing grants. There are corporations out there that are very helpful in the field of science and the STEM initiatives that if you look online for grants, you can often get grant money to help you along those lines as well.
One more question I want to ask you. Do you remember your middle school science fair project?
Yes, I certainly do.
What was it?
I was seeing if magnetic waves had an effect on the path that ants make as they're traveling back and forth to their colony. And so I placed magnets underneath the ground through an ant-infested area, and it had no effect on them.
And before we let you go, Mr. Brennan, I was hoping you could help us out with a little experiment here. This being public radio, we figured we'd make it about sound waves. And I want to know why it sounds like this.
When the engineer speeds my voice up.
And sounds like this when he slows the recording down.
That has to do with frequency. And waves are an excellent way of transferring energy. And the closer the waves are together, that's called a high-frequency wave, but the wavelength is shorter, and that's going to give us a higher pitch. And as we spread the wavelength out, that is a longer wave, but a lower frequency, carrying less energy, so that will lessen the pitch.
Very
cool.
Yes, we know this is the simplified version. If you want to learn more about sound waves, we've tweeted a link. It's an Encyclopedia Britannica film from 1933. We're at Marketplace Tech. We'd love to hear about your science experiments. Tweet us using the hashtag MPScienceFair. That's our show. I'm Adrienne Hill. Ben Johnson's back tomorrow. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.